We are beginning our Advent sermon series called Wonder. How amazing is that string art? Can you believe people make that from scratch? Like buy the wood, buy the nails, do the yarn, and it comes out like that. That's what happens when people use the gifts God gives them. So thank you to Aaron and Gabby Showalter. Thank you for Jenny Carr. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for all the others who came in and helped us put lights up. And we flocked trees. Look that one up. That looks like real snow, but it's some man-made material that comes out of a bag and gets everything white in the world. It was wow. Okay, so thank you for helping us ring in the wonder of the Advent season. So wonder, a few of you as you came in and you saw that sign, you went, oh. Yeah, you were pretty impressed with it. And then I was talking to one person who was like, is that real string, real yarn? Yeah. And that is even more amazing. So a few of you demonstrated the wonder of that sign that was intended. One of my favorite embodiments of wonder was when our four children were ages 4 to 10, 4, 6, 8, and 10, we took them to Disney. And we were in the Magic Kingdom, and our four-year-old daughter was at the castle, and the person portraying Cinderella came around in costume, and our little four-year-old daughter went, oh, Cinderella! She was for real. She believed, because she was in the Magic Kingdom. So, wonder, awe, surprise, excitement, admiration at something that wasn't expected. That's this season. Advent is a season of wonder, of anticipation, of expectation, of I just used the word to explain the word, of admiration. That's amazing. That's a beautiful, beautiful way to illustrate the wonder of the Advent season. And Advent is a season of waiting, too. As JJ shared already, we celebrate Advent, something, the coming of Jesus to earth in the form of a baby born of Mary. We celebrate what happened 2,000 years ago at Advent. We also celebrate that Jesus is coming right now, today, to be King and Savior of our hearts. And we can look forward to, we can wait in expectancy for his coming again, his return as King. So Advent is a time of wonder, and Advent is a time of waiting. And so today's message is, got all of those W's there, the wonder of waiting well. And so some of us are not very good at waiting. Some of us are horrible, actually, at waiting. We're very impatient by nature. And others who are more mature are good at waiting. And we know that love, joy, peace, patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so we have some among us. I shared in our family when I was quite young, I don't know what my mom and dad's rhythm was or pattern. I can't quite remember, but I remember one Christmas, I was young, and they had the tree up and decorated, and they put the presents under the tree days before Christmas. It was driving me crazy. I had to know what was in all of those presents. And so we would, when mom and dad weren't in the room, we'd go and we'd pick it up and we'd shake it and we'd peel the paper back to try and see what was in there and then put it back so they would never know we had messed with it. And so then one evening, again, it was there for days, just the anticipation was maddening. And so my brother and I, we pulled out all of the presents of the tree Mom and Dad were in the kitchen. We could hear them. And we pulled out all of the presents, and then we began to construct, not a wonder sign, because that was above our pay grade, but we began to construct this little pyramid-shaped tree of the presents right in front of the tree. And as we took one out and we stacked it, we got to shake it and look and try and figure out who's what. And so while we're doing that, Dad comes out of the kitchen into the living room where the tree is, and we're like, oh. And he started to laugh, and he joined us, and he helped us finish. So I just want you to know, Mom was the mature adult who knew how to wait well in our family, and Dad was the one who jumped right in with us and was helping us not wait so well. So waiting, all of us are familiar with waiting. I don't think I have to convince you that waiting is universal. It is something every person gets to do. It seems like when we're young, when we're in elementary school, we cannot wait to be in middle school. And then when we get to middle school, we can't wait to be in high school. And when we get to high school, we can't wait to get to college if we're going. And then there's a point where you can't wait to be done with school. And we all reach it at different points. Another thing that I couldn't wait for, I think I was about 12 or 13, and I had older siblings who were driving and getting their permit and having the fun at the helm of the vehicle, and I just wanted my driver's license so bad. And so I did what every teenager would do who couldn't wait. You just drive anyhow. I fessed up to Mom and Dad about that one downstream, way downstream. Didn't my friend made me do it. So waiting is something that is universally true. We don't have to really make a case that it, you know, whether it's going shopping right now. I don't care who you are. If there's 5 lines open in a store, there should be 6. Because the one you pick is the last one through. If you've ever been to the airport and gone through security, whichever one they direct you to is not the one that gets through quickest, right? And so traffic, I've already shared my issues with traffic. I don't like sitting still and waiting on Interstate 81. So waiting is something that is universally true in big ways and in small ways. And so because we're also familiar with waiting, sometimes we see it, we view it negatively. We think that waiting is a bad word because some of us are so horribly impatient. And another reason we sometimes see waiting as negative because there's a few of us in the room who will procrastinate and avoid something that we don't want to do, and we will wait until the last minute. I see a few nods of recognition. I pray for you in Jesus' name. So sometimes waiting is avoidance. Sometimes waiting is something that we fall into and don't want any part of. So waiting well, the wonder of waiting well, my hope and my desire today was that we could see that waiting isn't a bad word. That actually give you some encouragement and practical ways to wait well in the things that we're holding on to in our hearts. And so I want to take a moment here before I go any further. And I want to give you an opportunity to do a little thinking, a little quiet reflection. What are you waiting for? What's going on in your life that you want to see accomplished, that you want to see fulfilled? What is it? And I'd like you to not just think about it, but actually take a moment. If you got your smartphone, just put it in a note, write on the bulletin, take a slip of paper. You can take the information card and you can write on it and take it home with you. But take a moment and identify, what are you waiting for? What can't you wait to see happen? Go ahead, don't look at me. Okay. I want to just continue on in this wonder of waiting well by identifying just a few. The Bible I think he has hundreds of stories of people's lives who were waiting for things. We'll start with Abraham. 2,000 years before Christ, Abraham was waiting for a son to fulfill the promise that he would be the father of nations. Jacob, he was waiting for his wife. He worked 7 years, and then his uncle deceived him, and so then he worked another 7 years. And he waited 14 years for the wife that he was promised. Joseph was waiting for his dream to be fulfilled, and he waited in prison for many of those years, falsely accused. Moses was waiting for the deliverance of the people of Israel from Egypt and confronted a Pharaoh. Joshua waited for more than 40 years to enter the promised land. Gideon was waiting for God to deliver the people of Israel from the occupation of Midian. Ruth, who was a widow, was waiting for God's provision for her and her mother-in-law. She eventually became part of Jesus' genealogy. Hannah was waiting to conceive a son and promised the Lord year after year, going to the temple, that when this son would be born, she would dedicate him to the Lord's service, and he became a great prophet, Samuel. David waited to become king years and years after Samuel anointed him. Micah, a minor prophet during the reign of King Hezekiah, was waiting and waiting for the people of God to return to the one true God. Nehemiah was waiting from exile to go back to Jerusalem and restore the walls. Esther was waiting for the rescue of her people, the people of Israel, from the evil man Haman, and waiting for justice and protection. One thing that's true of all of these people, and these are just a handful of people, is that all of them waited years for the breakthrough that God had purposed for them. All of these people waited over many, many centuries for the things that were personal to them, and all of these people were waiting for something that was bigger than themselves. They were waiting for the King, the Savior, the Redeemer, the Messiah to come and to deliver them. They were waiting for the advent, the arrival, the coming of their King. This is how Isaiah prophesied about it. It says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift heavy burdens from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." That's what they were waiting for. And now, today, thousands of years later, we're celebrating what they were waiting for. We celebrate in Advent the coming of Jesus the King. So what is it that we're waiting for personally? And what is it that we're waiting for that's bigger than us? We're waiting for the return of Jesus, as JJ already shared and encouraged us with the Advent lighting. All right, let's look at a couple of these characters a little closer. I want to look at David's life. I want to read a portion of Psalm 27. I'm going to put a few verses of Psalm 27 on the screen for you. Those are the last two verses I'm going to read. I'm going to read from Psalm 27, and I'll start in verse 4. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe. In his dwelling, he will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle, will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call in prayer, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Do not turn me over to the desire of my enemies, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. Verse 13, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. King David, his life was marked by years and years of people coming after him and trying to take his life. The Philistines were trying to take his life at one point. His own people, Saul, the insecure first king, was chasing David. So David had enemies all through his life who were seeking to take him out, destroy him, kill him. We don't have that particular experience. Thank God. In that psalm, he talks about people falsely accusing him. Some of us have had that experience. That's a little more relatable to us. But I just want you to know that King David gives us a couple of keys, very practical keys, right here in this psalm for how to wait well, how to wait well in wonder. And one of the first keys is prayer. Verse 7 and 8, he says, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. So when we are waiting, when we are in a season, whether it's days or weeks or months or years, whatever the duration, one of the ways to wait well is to pray. Hear me, O Lord. Hear my prayer. Another way to wait well is to worship. David is the consummate worshiper. He saw worship as a way to not only exalt God, but he saw it as a way to overcome the enemy that was at work. And so I want you to know, and this is a whole separate message, worship will change our perspective. It will make God bigger in our lives. It will help us see who he really is. And worship will change us. As we exalt him, it will change our perspective and it will change us. Waiting well, if you want to wait well, give yourself to prayer. If you want to wait well, give yourself to worship. We periodically have a night of worship here where we just spend time. It sometimes goes well past an hour, and we just worship the Lord. And that is some of the best time for my soul, because I will get his perspective about things. And the weapons of our warfare are not guns and swords. The weapons of our warfare in the spirit is worship and the declaring who God really is. So I encourage you, come on a worship. If you feel like you are discouraged, if you feel like you've been waiting and are losing hope for something, come and worship the Lord more. And it will change your perspective and it will change you. I promise. So waiting well involves prayer. Waiting well involves worship. There's another key right here on this screen, and it's verse 13. It says, David says, I am confident I'll see the Lord's goodness. I think this might even be the strongest key. When we become confident that God is good and we can trust him with our lives, we can wait. God is good. We can trust him with our lives. That's a key to waiting well. Another character that I read through that whole list earlier is Micah. Micah was a minor prophet. His writings in the Bible are way smaller than Isaiah. Isaiah was a contemporary of his. Isaiah, Micah, both were prophets during the reign of King Hezekiah and one of the latter kings of Israel. And this is Micah's journal, if you will, of what was going on as he poured out his heart to God. This is Micah chapter 7. How miserable I am. I feel like the fruit picker after the harvest who can find nothing to eat. Not a cluster of grapes or a single early fig can be found to satisfy my hunger. The godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. I think when we're really discouraged, we exaggerate a little. Or at least I do. The godly people have all disappeared. Not one honest person is left on the earth. They are all murderers, setting traps even for their own brothers. Don't trust anyone, not your best friend or even your wife. For the son despises his father. The daughter defies her mother. The daughter-in-law defies her mother-in-law. Your enemies are right in your own household. That is a tough time. He's describing a lot of pain within his own family. And then verse 7, he says this, "As for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me." Everything he just listed there in those first six verses were things he was never going to be able to make right on his own. Do you know that you can't fix your family? If you don't have that revelation, you will get it. "But as for me, I look to the Lord for help. I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." Our God will certainly hear us when we pray. When we pour out our hearts to him, he will certainly hear you, church. So I don't share all of these stories so that their life will seem so awful that yours will seem less so. That is a type of therapy. I don't know what it's called, but it's not good. Comparing ourselves with people who are in so much trauma that then our stuff doesn't seem so bad, and then we're like, well, then I don't have any permission or right to be in a bad place because I'm not living like Micah did. That only helps so much. So I don't share all of that to basically say, buck up, toughen up, don't be a wimp. Your life's not as awful as Micah's. That's not why I'm sharing. I'm sharing it to actually, we can identify with all of these people in Scripture. The people in the Bible were not superhuman and superheroes who had it all together. Their life was lived in much different circumstances. The context they lived in wasn't full of technology and all of its challenges and all the information overload that we have, but they were human, and they were people just like you and me, and they found themselves at places where they could not overcome on their own strength the challenges in front of them, and they had to cry out to the Lord just like we do today. The people we read in Scripture were just like you and me. And we can draw encouragement from what they did to wait well and cry out to the Lord. So prayer for David and Micah, worship for David, crying out to the Lord were ways to wait well. Being confident of God's goodness. So, at the close of the final Old Testament minor prophet, Malachi, just made up a new prophet name there. And you must be a little sleepy. You didn't catch it right away. Malachi. From the end of those writings until the coming, the advent of Jesus, there is this long 400-year period where some theologians and commentators call it the 400 years of silence, where we don't hear or know very much about what was going on. And then the thing, the Savior, the King, that all of these people that we've been reading about were waiting for, comes. And the amazing thing is, when Jesus comes on the scene, although they had spent centuries awaiting his arrival, and although they had prophecies of him coming, many of them missed it when he came. It's an amazing thing. So many were looking and waiting, and yet many, many people missed the advent, Jesus' arrival. But here's a story that Precious Tiffany read for us this morning from Luke chapter 2, and I just want to reread those few verses from Luke chapter 2. starting in verse 25. At the time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." This man had been eagerly waiting, just like all the others that we read about were waiting. He was eagerly waiting the coming, the advent, the arrival of Jesus. And when he saw Jesus coming with his mother and father, he recognized him. How did Simeon notice what other people were missing? Well, I think the key here, he was eagerly waiting. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit had revealed to him, and the Holy Spirit led him. Here's the key, if you didn't catch the repetition. A part of waiting well is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and my life. If we embrace the Holy Spirit working in us, we will be led. We will have revelation. We will be filled. We will know things that we wouldn't know other ways, because the Holy Spirit will make the things that Jesus said true, and he will remind us of those, and the Holy Spirit will make God's word revealed and true to us. So one of the keys to waiting well, one of the keys is prayer. One of the keys is worship. One of the keys is embracing the Holy Spirit's work in your life, because he will reveal to you what's true, and he will show you things that you wouldn't know if you just read the word without the revelation of the Holy Spirit in your life. So Simeon had this embrace, this connection, this filling of the Holy Spirit. And it's available to all of us today. That's part of what God did in his sovereign way. He sent Jesus to deliver us from the power of sin and death. We sang that wonderful line, "And it is well with my soul. My sin, not in part, but all of it, is nailed to the tree, nailed to the cross, and we bear it no more." Every barrier between us and God was removed by the finished, complete work of Jesus. And then when Jesus ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us always, our comforter, our guide, the Spirit of truth, to reveal to us how to follow the Lord, how to understand his word, how to wait well. So, keys to waiting well, very practically. Prayer, worship, embracing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then there was one other key. Sue gave a wonderful message on waiting last year. I don't know if you remembered. In May at Mother's Day, she did a message in our What Now series called The Weight of a Wait. It's a play on words there. You have to go listen to it. Anyhow, in that message on waiting, Sue rehearsed a statement that our founding pastor Dick Blackwell made, so I want to add this one. When we look back at that Psalm 27 passage, it says, "Wait patiently for the Lord, be brave and courageous." Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. And Dick's little phrase that Sue remembered from a message many moons ago was, "When you're waiting for the Lord, wait on the Lord." Which is, when you're waiting for the Lord, serve the Lord. Do what he puts in front of you. Do the next thing. Serve the body of Christ. Serve. While you're waiting on the Lord, pray. While you're waiting on the Lord, worship. While you're waiting on the Lord, embrace the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you're waiting for the Lord, serve. Do what he puts in front of you to do. Okay. So those are the practical encouragements for waiting well. I want to just take a little personal note. I don't know what you wrote on what is it you're waiting for. I can't wait for I can't wait for it to snow. That's not my spiritual answer. I'm just putting it out there. When it gets cold, it should snow, yeah? Not this fake stuff in the trees, the real stuff. Lots of it. So what are we waiting for? I hope something is stirring in your heart that God's been speaking to you. I don't know whether you've been waiting for a relationship to be restored. I don't know if you're waiting for a family member to come to Jesus. I don't know if you're waiting for a wayward family member to return to faith in Jesus. I don't know if you're waiting for the birth of a child. I don't know if you're waiting for a healing that you've been asking the Lord for weeks or months or years. I don't know what you're waiting for, but I want you to know that personal thing is near and dear to the heart of God, and He knows it, and He wants you to wait well. And the thing that we're all waiting for is for Jesus to come again, to make everything right. So we're all waiting. Earlier this year, the Holy Spirit spoke to Sue and I a word of encouragement. Catherine gave a prophetic word of encouragement that these mixed up yarns all over here have been transformed into a beautiful word of encouragement to us. That's a prophetic picture. So Sue and I were at a pastor's conference in February of this year. And while we were there, the main speaker, who is somebody we know, but he didn't know the circumstances that were going on in our life at the time, he, in the middle of one of his sessions, looked to us and then began to speak some prophetic words of encouragement into our life. And as he was speaking those words of encouragement, I didn't catch it all, I didn't remember it all, but I do remember this phrase. And he said this phrase, that this summer is going to be a summer to remember. And I was like, yes, I take that encouragement. A summer to remember. And so when God speaks to us through other people and things are verified and made true according to word, He will never tell us stuff that isn't also underlined and supported in His word. So there's all kinds of promises in God's word that we can rehearse. I didn't have anything specifically about the summer of 2018. But I was like, this is consistent with God's heart for us. And so when he said those words, I'm thinking really wonderful stuff, yeah? And so we get to May of that year, and as I've shared in a previous message, some things were going wrong in the daycare that we've had in our church for 7 years. Some leadership struggles were going on, and some staff issues were getting more difficult. And so I'm like, well, summer doesn't really start until May 21st, so I can wait until May 21st. That's right, see? Now you are awake. We're in May, and things are going poorly, and I'm like, summer to remember really starts on June 21. Thanks for helping me with my story. So June 21 comes, and then July. And then it becomes obvious in July that we're going to have to close the daycare because things have gotten so difficult and so, they have this wonderful expression in the UK, things have gone pear-shaped. They say it with an accent. Things have gone pear-shaped. That means not good. And so we have to close the daycare, we realize, in July. And so we close it officially in August 31st. I'm lighthearted about it now, but it was one of the most painful things. It was a leadership failure on my part. And it wasn't just me, but it was a collective problem. And it was heartbreaking. So in the middle of all of that trauma, I got another week of vacation to go on the trail with my hiking buddy, Mark. And I'm like, we're going hiking, and we're leaving the world behind. And sure enough, it was brutal. What we had planned to do in 7 days, Mark is amazing. He was right there, ready to go as many miles as I could get my sorry person to do. And so instead of covering the 100 miles we planned in 7 days, we covered 55 miles in 5 days, and I was gassed and I couldn't go on, and we had to come off the trail. So the refreshing week on the trail was brutal. And it was a summer to remember. And so I'm thinking, well, summer doesn't end officially until September 21, right? So the whole time, I have a different idea. I have this mental, I'm going to show you. Here's my mental image of what God probably meant when he said, this is going to be a summer to remember. Can I get a glory hallelujah? Yeah. See? Amen. I just want you to know that's not what the summer was. And that's confusing. When we hear from the Lord and when he speaks encouragement to our heart and when he gives us promises that are consistent with his word, we start to fill in the rest of the story, and it's really confusing when it doesn't go the way we expect. And so when we look at Scripture and we see all these people who have been waiting expectantly and for years and years for the Messiah to come, and he comes a little different, we should not be hard on them when they don't get it right. It's very possible we're missing. We're not missing the Lord, but sometimes we're misinterpreting what he's saying. But here's what's so good. The purposes of God in our lives that we're waiting for aren't contingent on us understanding, on us getting it right, on us doing everything right, not on our own ability. The purposes of God being fulfilled in your and my life is dependent on the character and the goodness of God. I think that's setting some people free to wait well now. You can't make it happen. No more than you can change people in your own family. You can't make it happen. But he can, and he's committed to fulfilling his purpose in your life, and he's good, and you can trust him. So I still don't really know what the Lord was trying to encourage us in with the summer to remember, but I'm interpreting it today as it was a summer to remember him. I'm probably going to always remember the summer of 2018 because it was really difficult. But I'm also going to remember that as we prayed and as we worshiped and as we embraced the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we saw the goodness of God. Not in the way we expected, but we saw it. One of the neat little things God did, well, I've already told you, my hiking buddy was amazing, and he still is willing to hike with me, even though I have to come off the trail early because I can't get it done. So thank you for that, Mark, when you listen to this. The body of Christ, you're not alone. That's one of the lies of the enemy, is that when you're getting discouraged and when things aren't working the way you believe that they would, the enemy wants to say, you're alone, nobody cares, not even God. And during this difficult time that Sue and I were involved in, and me in particular with the daycare, in this whole season, God blessed us in a really remarkable way with a love gift from somebody in the church who had no idea what they were doing. They were just being obedient to the nudge the Lord gave them. And so the body of Christ, church, as you wait well, as you pray, as you worship, as you embrace the work of the Holy Spirit, as you remain confident in the goodness of God, he will accomplish things through the body. Stay connected to his body. That's how he works his goodness in our lives. Okay, let's bring this home. Luke, would you come? Be quiet, Siri, in the name of Jesus. I've wanted to do that for a long time. I was waiting. Play something beautiful, brother and sister. Stand up. If you stand up, I'm quicker. Could I have the ministry to come? Ministry team, come. I feel like there's a couple invitations for people who are waiting. Some of you feel like God's not saying anything. It's silence. I don't hear his voice. I feel like he's distant. I don't know where he is. If you feel like God's not speaking or you can't receive encouragement from His Word or from His body, or the Lord is speaking. And if you need prayer for your ears to be open to His voice, then come and receive prayer. The ministry team will pray for you. Another invitation I want to give you is maybe you've been waiting a really long time for something that is really important in your life, and you have not seen breakthrough and you're discouraged. I want you to come and have these people of faith pray with you that you would wait well, that you would have the capacity, the grace to pray, to worship, to embrace the work of the Holy Spirit, to rehearse the goodness of the Lord. So if you've been waiting and you're discouraged, then come and let some people pray with you. And the last thing, and this is maybe the best invitation, is some of you have been trying to do this thing of life all by yourself, and it's not working, and it should never work by yourself, because you were created for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you will give your life to Him today, you will know a relationship, a love, a forgiveness, a grace that you've never had before. And so if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, today's your day. Today's the arrival, the advent, the coming of Jesus into your life today. Don't miss it. What are you waiting for? There's a really wonderful passage, too, really, in Scripture. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son that none should perish. Did you know that God is waiting for you? In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says that God's not slow in the way we would think of things being slow, but He's waiting so that no one would perish and not know Him. That's my paraphrase. God is waiting for you to come to relationship with Him today. Today can be the arrival of Jesus in your heart if you will respond to Him. So come, receive salvation. Come, have prayer to hear God's voice, or come and receive encouragement for whatever you're waiting for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would You just speak to every heart here this afternoon? Would You do Your wonderful work in our lives? Would You speak to those who need a word of encouragement? Would You give grace and the capacity to wait well for those who are getting discouraged and waiting on You for Your purposes to be fulfilled? Would You fill us with a sense of wonder and expectation and admiration and awe as we celebrate You coming to earth 2,000 years ago? So come again into all of our hearts afresh today, Jesus, I pray. Send us out full of Your love, Your grace, Your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, church. You're dismissed to go. You're invited to come for prayer.